Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, aging doesn't need to be a process of gradual decline. The best can still lie ahead of us through a process called conscious eldering. A therapist describes a new approach to this final third of life. Learn how you can break through personal barriers, exceed expectations, and add passion, purpose, and productivity to your elder years.
But first, if you're one of those people who say, I can't live without my morning cup of coffee, you may be closer to the truth than you realize. A handful of recent studies reveal that those who consume 15 ounces of coffee a day may reduce their risk of developing type 2 diabetes, prostate cancer, oral cancer, skin cancer, and recurrence of breast cancer.
New York Times Well blog writer and health journalist Gretchen Reynolds looked into the science behind the benefits of that cup of morning joe. Her article, This Is Your Brain on Coffee, appeared in the June 9th issue of the New York Times Magazine. She joins us from her office in Santa Fe, New Mexico, to discuss why a cup of coffee a day, or 2 to 3 cups, may be better than the much-touted apple a day for our overall health. Welcome to Take Care, Gretchen. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
You know, nothing makes us feel better than to find out something we're eating or drinking may actually have health benefits. Tell us about some of the recent studies linking coffee consumption with the reduction in developing certain diseases.
But I have to preface this by saying one of the reasons I wanted to do this article was because I tend to drink 2 or 3 cups of coffee a day. And I was actually wondering whether it was healthy or not. And the fact of the matter was I wasn't about to change my habits, but I really wanted some justification. So I did start to look into the science around coffee. And there have been, as you mentioned, a number of very large epidemiological studies, and those are studies in which they basically ask people about their lives, and then they follow them over a period of time and see what happens after, say, 10 years, who's still alive, who's still healthy, and so on. And then they compare what those people are doing. And one of the things that they found in a very large study that was conducted by the National Cancer Institute was that people, both men and women, who were drinking 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day, and those are 5-ounce cups of coffee, not a 2 or 3 16-ounce cups of coffee, those people tended to live longer by a significant amount. They were much less likely to have died at the end of the period than the people who were drinking no coffee. And they didn't ask people about whether it was caffeinated or not, but they were looking at sort of normal cups of coffee. Other studies have then looked at the association between drinking coffee and developing certain diseases. Again, as you mentioned, there's a very, very strong association between drinking 2 to 3 cups of coffee and lowering your risk of type 2 diabetes. Exactly why is not completely clear, but it's probably because the coffee affects how well you metabolize blood sugar. If you metabolize blood sugar better, you lower your risk of type 2 diabetes. It also was, there was a very strong association with not developing certain kinds of skin cancer and with not developing a recurrence of breast cancer. Those are really strong associations. But I should make clear that association is not exactly showing causation. It's not clear whether people who drink coffee also have other really good health habits. But one way or another, drinking coffee in these big studies was clearly associated with better health.
Do scientists know what specific properties in coffee are responsible?
As a matter of fact, no. And that is actually being very, very aggressively investigated in a number of studies. That what they have found is, particularly, as I said, with the diabetes studies, there does seem to be an association with drinking coffee and having better blood sugar control, less insulin resistance. And that makes perfect sense because caffeine does affect how well you metabolize your blood sugar. What it's doing in terms of reducing cancer risk is not yet completely clear, But in these studies, they have tried to control for things like people who are overweight or smoke or have other really bad health habits. Doesn't seem to matter whether you have good health habits or bad health habits. Drinking coffee does reduce your risk of developing these diseases. And one of the diseases that it's, they have actually investigated how it's working is Alzheimer's. And that's an instance where they actually have done experiments with mice. And those are the kind of studies where we really can afterwards say coffee or caffeine actually affected the brain, and this is how. And those are really interesting studies.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And we're talking to Gretchen Reynolds, New York Times well blog writer and health journalist, about some of the positive effects of coffee on the brain and in helping to prevent disease. So you mentioned caffeine, and one question is, does caffeine have the same benefits if it's in soda and tea as it does in coffee?
That's a very good question, and the very short answer to that is it probably has the exact same benefits, but you can pretty much cancel them out if you add tons of sugar to the beverage that you're drinking. There is no evidence, despite what some of these commercials may tell you, that adding all this sugar and the other ingredients that go into sort of energy drinks or those little five-hour energy shots or any of those things, there is no evidence that that increases the health benefits or the alertness benefits of coffee. What it does add is a lot more calories. So getting your caffeine from an energy drink, getting it even from one of those great big, huge, fancy coffee beverages with lots of fat and sugar, there is no evidence that that will increase the health benefits and almost certainly will, to some degree, cancel them out.
So, Gretchen, are scientists and doctors at a point of recommending daily coffee consumption to maintain good health? I mean, you know, you were saying you looked into this to justify your 2 to 3 cup a day habit. But for those who don't drink coffee, should they think about drinking coffee?
Well, there are scientists who are saying yes. Some of the scientists who are looking at the effect on preventing Alzheimer's are actually at the point of saying, if you want to lessen your risk of dementia, then it probably is a good idea, if you're middle-aged and not drinking coffee, to consider taking up the habit. They did some really interesting studies with mice where they actually did give mice who were bred to develop Alzheimer's, they have those types of mice now, they gave them either coffee or caffeine over a period of several months. And both of those sets of mice were much less likely to develop actual full-blown mouse Alzheimer's than the animals that were not given caffeine or coffee. What's interesting is the mice who were given coffee and not just caffeine actually did even better. So there may be something in coffee, an ingredient that together with caffeine provides even greater benefits to the brain. We don't know that yet. Scientists are looking into that. But I spoke with those scientists and they said everyone in their lab drinks 2 or 3 cups of coffee a day, and they actually strongly recommend it. I should say, if you do not now drink coffee, I mean, there are health effects that may not be completely healthy for everyone. Coffee will raise your blood pressure, especially if you're not used to it at all. So if you have a history of high blood pressure, if you're on blood pressure medication, definitely speak with your doctor before starting any kind of coffee regimen.
Well, that's exactly, I was going to ask that as we wrap this up, that, you know, what are the downsides to drinking a few cups of coffee a day?
Well, the main one is that there is evidence, not even evidence, there's very clear proof that it does raise your blood pressure, especially if you're not acclimated to coffee. And that's one reason that you really should not be giving energy drinks, coffee, anything to young people, and that includes even teenagers, there is no evidence that it's healthy for them, and it does raise their blood pressure, does raise their heart rate. Again, if you have a history of cardiac problems or if you have any concerns about your blood pressure, see your doctor before you start taking coffee or increase how much you're drinking.
Thanks so much for joining us. This is definitely good news for us coffee drinkers.
I'm going to have my third cup right now.
Great talking to you, Gretchen.
Thanks for having me.
Gretchen Reynolds is a health journalist, author, and writes the Well blog for the New York Times. For more information on the benefits of drinking coffee, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org/takecare. Podcasts of our show are available on iTunes and the WRVO website.
Coming up, why aging consciously may be more important and more life-affirming than aging graciously. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.